by Aboriginal rights because of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. During the course of time, I think the only one that benefited are financially from the act itself has been the corporate boards and staff on a village and regional level. There has been nothing passed on to the stockholders other than a dividend which may have been declared at one time or another for an X amount of dollars, which was actually, you know, taking away whatever capital the villages had. And I personally feel that it's been a heyday for the attorneys and accountants because we had no other choice but to have attorneys and accountants to take care of our day-to-day, month-to-month, on a quarterly and a yearly basis, how to run a corporate business and corporation. I'd like to go a little bit further on and to mention that I believe the Land Claims Act has benefited the natives in some way because the state and federal agencies finally have started listening to the wants and needs of the village people as a whole. In the past, it was them that determined what we needed, how we should live, and how our children and grandparents should be. But I definitely see a generation gaps that are being created, and I myself, I would consider myself middle age, and we have a younger generation which are taking over the administrative duties and corporate office structures, and I definitely plan on staying in a picture where I will definitely pass my advice on to the younger generation as well as listening to the older generation. I definitely see a gap in education, the ability to be able to read and comprehend the rules and regulations that we have to live by. I definitely see the character of the different generations where a certain age group is more likely to speak up for or against anything, and in the manner in which it's done. I definitely know the younger generation is handling it differently from my generation, and I'm sure that our elders feel that we did handle it differently than they would have. So there's definitely a generation gaps in how the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act is going to be implemented, and we still got till 1991 and after that. I'd like to move on to stocks in our land. I can foresee loss of stock to native stockholders if no preventive measures are done. I can foresee outright purchases by bar owners, bartenders, or people drinking in the bars from intoxicated natives for any amount of money. I have seen the native people taken advantage of in bars for one reason or another, and I believe this will be highly magnified, where the native people will definitely be taking advantage of while they are under the influence of alcohol or drugs. I see wealthy individuals, private business partnerships, and corporate businesses with an offer of money or gifts that just couldn't be refused by a native for one reason or another. I can see the stocks being lost when they are used as collateral for loans, time payment purchases, or loans, and so forth. These are the different ways that I can see the native people losing their ownership of stock in one devious way or another. And this will also to lead to loss of village lands just by the native people being bought out one way or another. I think the loss of lands, once an assessed value is ever determined by the state and federal government, the village corporations will not be unable to meet or pay that that tax sooner or later, and the lands from the villages will be lost bit by bit by not being able to pay the taxes, or lost bit by bit due to purchase of stocks from the village people and stockholders. And I believe the amount of land that we received is only a small portion of what we actually use for subsistence purposes. 50% of our village withdrawal was in water. I think this was an oversight on whoever came up with the Land Claims Act. And I, as a board member at that time, wanted to select nothing but water as protest. But we had to go by the sections within the Act from the front page to working towards the back. But we definitely don't have our prime subsistence grounds within our village land selections. I like to go on record that where our primary place for subsistence activities will show and be proven that they are outside the village withdrawal areas. And if there are limitations and restrictions put on by whoever owns the land, either it be state or federal government, it can get to a point where we can no longer hunt, fish, or gather if these different land managing agencies feel that we are depleting the game resource or damaging the land that they manage. I definitely feel that we did not get enough ground to protect our interest for self-preservation. I'd like to move on to children that were born after December 18, 1971. I have three. One was born in March of 81. And he often used to wonder and ask us how come he's not receiving any money, that he can't go to stockholders meeting, and he won't have the right to vote like his older brother. And we explained the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act to him, and he still feels that he has not been given equal treatment. And his older brother has from time to time reassured him that he will give him half his voting rights, half his any financial gains that he might get, which he has done up to date. And my oldest son, who's the only one that participated in Land Claims Act, has two younger sisters now. So whatever he's got to share is getting smaller and smaller. And I think deep inside of our younger children born after 1971, they feel that they are third-class citizens, where I feel that we are second-class citizens. And by the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, which was passed in the best interest of the Native people, but I don't think that was the case. I know there's people that want to give further testimony, which will definitely may expound on what I've touched or may bring something up which that I wasn't able to bring at this time. And if you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them.
Well, thanks very much. You said that you've been a member of the board of directors of the local village corporation and of the regional corporation.
Yes.
And you've worked for both, too.
Yes.
Well, one of the issues that keeps coming up wherever I go is the division between surface and subsurface ownership. That is, the village owns the surface, the region owns the subsurface. A lot of the villages, in fact, just about all of them that I've been to, say, well, we, the village, should own both the surface and the subsurface, then it would be ours, we could decide what happens here. In Gamble, of course, they don't have that problem because, being a former reservation, they own both surface and subsurface. But how do you feel about that? You must have talked to people around this region about it.
I believe the real meaning or reason behind giving the subsurface right to the regional corporations, whoever drafted up the act at that time felt that village people were not competent enough to manage subsurface rights as opposed to a regional corporation. And as I mentioned, there's always been people who's been acting in our behalf, deciding what's good and best for us. And I think in this instance, they made a mistake in having the regional corporation having subsurface rights as opposed to the villages having subsurface rights. And as far as ownership of land, this was never the something that Native people grown up with. Of course, it's been understood there's certain hunting grounds and certain village grounds, you know, where different village people go. But I think the ownership of land goes far more than other than surface and subsurface. We have people fighting over Native allotments and who can go on their Native allotments and what can be built there. I think it's, you see, it's given the Native people the knowledge that they have the right to own land, and I think there's going to be a point where trespassing will even come into being as far as land ownership goes. But to answer your questions, I feel that there's pros and cons who should have the subsurface, but I definitely feel that it should be the village that has should have subsurface ownership.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much, sir. Thank you.
And I certainly want to thank you, Honorable Chief Justice Berger, for giving me the time to testify at this time.
Okay, thank you. I've been handed a note saying that we should have a 10-minute break now because coffee and tea are ready, so we'll just take a break now then. Sure. That's always a danger. What we'll do is we'll just carry on this meeting until 5 o'clock, and then we'll adjourn for supper, and we'll start again at 7:30 tonight. So I hope that you'll all be back at 7:30 tonight. But that gives us about a half hour now until 5 o'clock to carry on for the time being. I think you all know Mary Miller of Kowarik, from Nome. Mary, of course, set up these meetings, and sitting beside her is Mary Kenswick, who works with my commission, and she's from Fairbanks. Well, the next name on the list is Morris Kiutelik.
Honorable Judge Thomas Berger, are we on?
Not yet.
I can't hear myself then, I guess. Well, I've got no written testimony. I've taken some notes on some of my concerns, in which might be a repeat from the earlier testimonies, but
please go ahead.
I feel that, well, the more they are stressed, the better concern should be felt from all the natives. I'll be speaking on both as a stockholder and as a and also speaking for myself as a native. Just a moment ago, I was just hearing some testimonies, and I'll just skip around my notes, in which 1991 is a major concern of mine. I was just thinking that, well, maybe we should think about in which land claims affects everything, in which it affects different programs, both federal and state. I was holding my little girl just a moment ago, and then in which it's starting to affect us now, in which she was born after 1971. And the way I hear, as far as our Claims Act is concerned, she is not going to be termed as a native, which is a harsh word for describing my girl. But that's what the Claims Act is about, in which, well, we did not have a chance to take part on, like it was brought out, drafting the Claims Act. But some of the concerns are going to be mainly on our 1991 issue. Well, that's only 6 years away from now, and it shall come real quick, in which, well, we're not ready for it. Some of the main issues that are in the Claims Act are not even defined yet. The value of our land, our stock, is not determined yet. And I believe most of us do not know how much if we are going to sell our land, our stock, or even if we should be allowed to. Maybe some restrictions should be in be placed this type, in which there is an input from all the natives, each stockholder, each native, and on making that policy. As far as shareholders are concerned, on the financial level, I've got the same, more or less same feelings as was stressed out earlier. We, as most of our stockholders, I would say 99 or even 99 plus percent of our stockholders are not getting any financial help from the Claims Act. We never did have, in the past, had much to do with the finances anyway, in which our main asset, as far as comparable to that dollar sign, is our land, or subsistence. That is in our tradition, in our culture. As far as the dollar signs are concerned, even that is going to be threatened in our land taxation. or taxation as a stockholder individual. I don't know how much the state or the federal government is going to be imposing on taxing our land, and that in itself is a restriction on our corporations, both village and region-wise, on making a long-term investment. Those of us that still have some money as a corporation are thinking about, are afraid of 1991. We're thinking that maybe, well, if we do make long-term investments, then, well, we shall be hurting ourselves or not being ready to have that money available when 1991 comes. On subsistence, we've already got, even before the Claims Act, had restrictions on practicing or subsistence culture. Now we are being imposed by both the federal and state on even making a little bit of financial help from some of the animals that we catch, like the polar bear. We eat the meat, and yet we can't sell the skin. The restriction is there to, I believe, is imposed on, keep the native down. Well, don't get them too wealthy or too well off that, they'll start being a threat to what I would call the white man monopoly. I believe subsistence, as far as subsistence is concerned, the impositions that will be placed on our surrounding land, basically for Shishmaref, the Bering Land Bridge, that draft on subsistence hunting states flatly that the Secretary of the Interior will have the final authority on regulating the subsistence. That week or two notice on putting our input on that draft for the regulations on that Bering Land Bridge, there was a lot of stress made out that, subsistence is going to be on. It's not going to be stopped on that park. And yet on that same document it says, well, the Secretary of State Secretary of the Interior will review those policies concerning subsistence every so often, I believe every 10 years. And if he thinks that we are depleting our animals on that park, then he could stop that hunting. I believe he doesn't know that as far as our subsistence is concerned, we do subsist on a seasonal basis. We do not deplete the animal. We hunt the animal when it comes the season for it. I believe I should stress out that that has a lot of bearing on our past culture. We've had that those subsistence of regulations inbuilt into our culture to not deplete the animal. We hunt when the times for the ducks. We hunt for the ugruk when that season comes, and so it goes for all the subsistence species that we do. And on our land status, we are, I believe, eventually going to be, for most of the corporations, I don't know if our $6.5 million is going to hold up on a tax on the tax payments. I'm not sure whether the amount is going to be given to deplete that million or whatever. The interest that we get on our monies are used for the requirements that we have to do as far as the Claims Act are concerned. We would be more or less be termed as a reneging on our Claims Act. We have to spend our money, and then after the 20 years are up, which is 1991, we shall not be complete on taking care of what is required in the Claims Act. And so there goes our money, and then what about taxation again? I feel that taxation should be reviewed on a real strict level as far as the natives are concerned, in which, post-1991, I believe we should even go so far as to secede, probably. Make our own little nations, as we are going to be termed, our children are going to be termed as such, non-natives. I had a lot of things on my mind earlier, but then they're down there somewhere. Maybe as I think of them, I'll come back maybe this evening. Bring out more points.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. You're a member of the Shishmaref Corporation.
Yes, and also a board member
right.
for the corporation.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Toby and Anangazak, I have. Would you like to speak, sir?
My name is Toby Anangazak from Wales, Alaska, from King Mew. I am come with those other people appointed for attending the BLM meeting or whatever, and some like more and more about the BLM meeting. And I real interested about, but I'm not going to speak in English, but I'm going to speak in Eskimo. Land Claim Settlement Act when it's Kalau tak siap kami dah kita mula kerja untuk apa? Ini pernah tanya mahu kita nak ikut mana Alaska, wang atau kini ini kau tahu guru ini semua kerja. By individually, the land claim, Alaska on a neck dock of four short peninsula cups you tell you. A telitala muni, brave muni, king means Nagoni, Kigakam, short peninsula on a killing out of old road. Pinyar, we had loo. He must come to Kansibarakoni. Mago, killing Yang usum nyal di uptin nago ni kan sebuah kami nyal tu nego kanak benar lau gaya kagut. Tapi mau kagut, nere kliok tu, tani nere wajib utaku nalu ngerti katu. Bago gam mertau menunat kilir tage. Wagut kanak katigal lu kata. Wapak mami, kanak katigal ni latul bago kililat mati. Angun ni apa grabut? Tamat kau kililat tage kau menunak sopri, mungkin angun ni anai tuak sopri kililat tage. Wagut kanak buka kalau nau tamat kau ini laru atas sopri. Sama tam perawat tiga lu nau. Kanak kebaruk, sip kebaruk, kuning abak syuting inak lu. Kalau menyenangkan, sip liu lu abak syuting kau mengon nunakkan ikut inyut. Lalu walak siotok. Time letik itu kerut, atuk tak kerut. Lalu ni kini berapa atuk tak kerut. Time asalam, sulit. Ibu asalam. Tak pekat dengan kini orang agut. Lagu ni juga. Alaska minta mana ini pegurung, kolorung. United States ni aman ni. Ini orang juga minta mana ini orang. Time ekalit tak time time malas tu. Atau kat chip tu ni ima. Waktu chip tu ni atau kesemangat. Angu yang kita mampu ekalit nyunat. Kililak siupiat, kiling ata man, tamat kunung niya, ikilingin na nun, ato ko minahal tu, kilim iluan, inyuluan, pakmami. Uwawa kutok sa batay, malaksi ako atut. My name is Toby. So they want them. I want to be the real good American. I'm the American, American Eskimo. I like to live in the like other people, the good American people. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Perhaps as far I understand the language of Wales as well as Brevik Mission and Shishmaref in the native tongue. We'll have to refer back to the tape for translation of all the contents of what Toby Anangazuk have spoken. And he expressed himself to say that he is here to listen and to understand what is in store for us for 1991. These are just some of the cue notes that I took as he spoke. It's not in detail, but I will listen to the tape and translate for yourself before you leave Shishmaref. And it's important to him that, especially for the future generation, that we do understand what is the definition of land, and then as he himself has understood in Wales, been living there, that the land that was given is not real suitable for hunting, only for gathering of plants. And as far as the Seward Peninsula is concerned, for all the land that's used by Wales, Teller, Brevik, Shishmaref, the land that is used by those villagers is beyond for the purpose of subsistence. And since the Claims Act, we've always expected issues. And again, we're here to perhaps get answers on some of those expectations. He's quite concerned and expressed himself as far as the land boundaries is concerned that the Congress did not speak to each native as far as the boundaries, and he'd like to express his concerns that and let them know that we did not have the final say so as far as the boundaries of the land. And the last few comments he made was that he grew up in Alaska, not the lower 48, discussed some issues about the Indians in the lower 48 that are only living on reservations now. And he says the land boundaries are important. Again, I will listen to that tape and interpret that for you in English before you leave.
It's 5 o'clock. Well, it's 5 o'clock, so let me thank everybody who spoke and who came, and we'll see you at 7:30. Boy. I'll come and eat with you if that's on the cards. I'll just check with my supervisors over here. I guess I can just leave everything there.